Your desires, today, more of him. You can have this world. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I'd like to read a portion of your scriptures from the book of 1 Peter. It says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." You've got a reservation. It's up to us to keep it. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you are greatly rejoiced, though for now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." There's value in things. I was reminded of Brother Wells this morning preaching about value, and so many times I put the value on the wrong stuff. "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him, yet believing, that you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." They knew all about it, but they hadn't attained yet. "Searching what or what manner of the time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto when it was revealed that, not unto themselves, but unto us." Us. You and me. "They did minister the things which were now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into." We've got something an angel can't even have. And they've been in eternity with the Lord since the beginning of eternity, whenever that started. "I will bless the Lord at all times. With all that is within me, I'll bless his holy name." The praise that starts in this temple right here. Temple not made with hands. God made a temple, you and I, to be a temple that he wants to live and move and have his being in. Today, let him bless your temple, fill your temple, so you can be the light that God have you to be, to shine, in Jesus' name.
Seated if you'd like.
Crimson Tide, Jesus. For me, who He's worthy. He's worthy that, like as the previous song said, that I would lay down all lesser things for greater gain. Oh, let me see everything else in life as something less than what my walk in relationship with you is, God. Let my relationship with you be more valuable than any other relationship, any other thing in my life, God. That I would lay down all lesser things for greater gain. Hallelujah. Oh, one more time. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voices unto God? He's worthy of praise. Everything else pales in comparison, God. Nothing even comes close, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are. Thank you, Jesus, to be in your presence, God. Worship and magnify your name to give you glory and honor, God. Nothing worth more, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. It's just a response to what we're feeling right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Faith on all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is.
Can that be more than just a song this morning?
Inside of me.
Can it just be more than words we're singing?
I lay down all lesser things.
Can it be a statement of faith?
For greater gain.
Lord, I lay down all lesser things.
He is alive inside.
I'll hold nothing in such high regard as I do in my walk in relationship with you.
For greater gain, He is alive inside of me. I lay down all extra things for greater gain. He is alive. Oh, Jesus, He took my place in divine.
If you clap your hands, you may be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Say a quick things regard to announcements, things happening here. First of all, I want to say a big thank you to all those that helped us on Wednesday evening for our harvest party. What a great turnout. Thank you for all the hands that showed up to help us. Word had gotten out. What a great thing we had going. Matter of fact, I was at my son's basketball game on Saturday, and his coach came up to me after the basketball game and said, I heard about the Noah's Ark thing that went on at your church. And she said, I'm sorry I missed it. She said, but I won't next time. She said, I heard it was awesome. And I said, well, we had a great time and something we do every year. So thank you so much, all of you that helped us make that happen, dressed up as animals and had a big Noah's Ark theme, all the soup, all the preparation, everything that went into that. Thank you so much. It is you make me so proud, and I know you don't do it for me, but it does something that makes me proud when I see all the work and effort that goes into that. I do also want to say thank you very much for honoring us last Sunday morning and a pastor appreciation luncheon, honor my family. And you'll never know how much it means when you honor my wife and my kids. You can throw Rotten Tomatoes at me. I don't really care. I mean, I care, but it won't affect me near as much as how you treat my family. And so I thank you so much for your just words of kindness, your acts of generosity, the things that you gave. And when you Specifically, some of you gave the little gift cards for the kids, and man, they had a time in Walmart yesterday, just so you know, with the grandparents picking out stuff. And so thank you so much. And it's just, I don't say it near enough, but it's a privilege to serve you and to be here. And just the way you honor us is I just want you to know we're grateful and we're appreciative of it. Thank you so much. Tonight at 6 o'clock, gathering together for our Sunday evening session, gathering together for a time of family prayer, and then we're going to teach on praying, and then the children are going to, we'll gather together for family prayer, everybody up here, children, everybody here in the sanctuary, and then after the family prayer time, the children will go downstairs, and the adults and young people will stay up here for a little teaching on prayer, and then we'll end, as we have been doing, in a session of prayer. So we're going back to the basics. We're looking at what it means to pray and how we ought to pray and the manner in which we should pray. And so we're going to do that. And we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Just a special move of the presence of the Lord in those times together. It is an honor to have my family. It's also an honor to have Sister Judy Meyer. She, don't ask her about the bad stuff I did as a kid, because she knows a lot of those things. But as far as I hope that she has selective memory, and that the only thing she remembers is all the good things and all the fun times. But me and her son were some best friends growing up, Daniel Meyer, and just we were thick as thieves, as they say. We just had a wonderful time, and it's so good to have you. Thank you for being, what a delight to have you come and be with us here this morning. And my mom's so good. I ask her, I say, well, if I ask you to say something, will you say something? She's like, well, you mean like testify? And I said, yeah, I like testify. She said, well, certainly I'll do that. So why don't you applaud her, because she is my mother and because I love her.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful to be here this morning. But, you know, even more than that, I am so thankful that he lives inside of me. So thankful for 55 years he's kept me. And it's been a wonderful life living for the Lord. That's not to say you don't have problems. Everybody has problems. But it is a good life living for the Lord. And I wouldn't trade it and do it any differently than I have done. I'm just saying to someone this morning, maybe you know of God, but you don't know him, to have him residing in you. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. It is the greatest thing. You will never regret letting the Lord come into your heart and fill you. I'm so thankful for all of you, for the support that you are for my son and his family. It just means the world to me. I can't explain it to you. It just means the world. And when I get to come and see you again and to say thanks again and just to look at you and know that you're here, supporting the things of God and my son and his family, it just means the world to me. I love you all. You're part of my family. God bless you. Thank you.
I just want to let Pastor Wells know I only remember the good stuff. Only the good stuff. But I feel like it's such a great privilege to be here this morning and feel the presence of the Lord so mightily. I feel like I'm on a bus. It's just beautiful. I'm so thankful that I have been able to know Brother and Sister Senior Wells for a long time. He was my pastor. This was my pastor's wife. She had to keep me in line quite often. But I am so thankful for the love of God. It seems like every church is preaching on holding on to God, drawing closer. I can remember, age 15, going in behind Brother Wells' church and his father baptizing me with the Spirit, with the beautiful name of Jesus, and receiving the Holy Ghost in the Fruitland Park Church. I can honestly say I've not never once wanted to let go of God's hand. There's never been anything beautiful. When you go through a hard time, he's right there to walk you through it. Thank you so much. What a beautiful church. What a beautiful spirit. What a wonderful pastor and pastor's wife and family that you have.
We serve a wonderful God. It's an honor and privilege to bring to this pulpit once again my father, my mentor, the one who has helped me throughout life. And we've had those hard conversations and those easy conversations. And I'm thankful that I was born into this household. I don't know why God saw fit to bless me with the blessings that he has blessed me with. But I'm thankful. And I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pop, I want you to come and minister the word here this morning. And why don't you rise to your feet? Why don't you put your hands together, not for him, but for the man of God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's all to Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. What a gracious and wonderful Savior he is. You may be seated. Let me take a moment from my perspective to honor two other people that are in this congregation. That's Brother and Sister Davis. I made no secret about it, Brother Davis, Sister Davis. We did not want Nathan and Shannon coming here and their family, because we wanted them to keep them in Florida. But how do you argue with God? But this wonderful church that they have come to, the labor of you wonderful people for many, many years, and then for you to come back and compliment them, not get in the way, not cause problems, but compliment them. That speaks so highly of what caliber people you are. They deserve some applause. They really do. That's right. They're worthy of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for good men of God, men and women that love the Lord more than anything else. Praise God. Praise God. That is so appropriate and so correct. We have had similar backgrounds. I drove a school bus for 29 years. I think you drove it for longer than that. Did you ever pastor anyplace else than here? Okay. Other than that one year that you spent someplace else, you and I are similar again, that the only church I've ever pastored is the church in Fruitland Park. I've been there over 40 years. And as I'm coming towards, you know, looking at those days, we're looking and asking God's help for someone to pass the mantle to, as you did. And we're just praying that the work of God will continue to go forward as it has here from you folks' efforts. It's a good day to be loving the Lord, serving Him. My, my, my. You can't buy what you're feeling here, the presence of the Holy Ghost that's among us. It's invaluable. It's beyond any price you could put on it. Amen. Brethren, if I could get the first slide up behind me again. Now, I understand that when you use pictures, many people think you're teaching. But you got to understand something. I'm a right brain person. I write with my left hand, and that means I'm right brain. And now I don't know what that makes you that are not left-handed. We won't go there, but some have said that our left-handers were the only ones in our right mind. So, but I like pictures. That's just kind of the way I'm put together. And so that's why I use them in ministry. And I hope that I can do enough to make you think that if I'm not really preaching, maybe I'm somewhere in between. Someone described it as treaching, you know, in between the two. But it's the Word of God. And it doesn't matter whether I'm using pictures or not. If the Word of God gets in our hearts, then it's been successful. It's been successful. But on the screen behind me, you see one of God's approved places of worship, which was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And when you read in the books, the first five books, well, the books of the law, and they describe the setting up of the tabernacle and all of the many things that were involved in it, and every day or every time they moved it and reset it, it always had to be set toward the east where the sun came up. It was always a certain prescription. The fire on the altar was never to go out. There was a morning and there was an evening sacrifice. And everything was set up and outlined by the way God wanted it to be done for worship. Okay? And then when Solomon built that magnificent temple in Jerusalem that was nearly a wonder of the world, and how that you read some of the things such as there was not a hammer, there was not a chisel that was there on site. These huge stones that they put into the building of this temple, they were cut out of a stone quarry, and then they were fashioned and they were brought and it was assembled there. It was like it was a reverencing of the house that they were putting together. And then the same things that went on in the tabernacle plan, with the altar, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and all of the instruments inside the building. And that's really not my subject matter as much as the fact that God approved of these places and the way the worship that went forward there. Then the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And excuse me if you feel like you're having a history lesson, but I need to lay the groundwork here before I move forward, all right? But it was destroyed by the Babylonians, totally destroyed. And then they came back after 70 years of captivity, and they put together a very common building. It was called Zerubbabel's temple. And I remember the prophet said that you couldn't tell the difference between those that were shouting for joy because of the new temple and those that were crying because it was such a smaller or a diminutive version of the one that Solomon's temple had been. And so, but yet God approved the worship there. You got me? He accepted the worship of the people that worshiped in this place. And Herod, to really not to appease God, but to appease the Jews, he took that same temple and he made it into a magnificent structure, and it was known as Herod's temple. This is the place that Jesus was dedicated in. This is the place in his lifetime that he would have worshiped at. And these were all approved places of worship for the Lord. But there is another one I would really like to focus on this morning. One we don't hear a lot about. And it's one that David, while he was king, decided to erect. It was a simple tent. But it housed something that was so very precious. And that was the Ark of the Covenant. I remember reading the words of David, and he prayed, and he saw it. He said, "How can I bring the Ark home to me?" He was ruling in Jerusalem, and he wanted that represented the presence of God in Jerusalem where he was. He knew he needed God's presence where he was. Isn't that much like us? We got to have God's presence among us, with us, guiding us, helping us. We can't make it through life. And so David, there was no prescription in Scripture for this. Please mark that. It simply came from a desire that David had in his heart. And he erected this tent. And if you look at some of the details of it, you find out that of the 38,000 Levites that were there in Israel at that time, he took 4,000 of them. And he gave them jobs and he gave them positions. And their position was that 24/7, somebody was to be around David's tabernacle. Somebody was to be around the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody was to be singing. Somebody was to be praising. Somebody was to be offering worship to the Lord. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And there was something inside of him. No, he wasn't perfect. But there was still something inside of him that says, I've got to worship the Lord. I've got to give him praise. I've got to give him honor. And it's that tabernacle that I would like to talk about this morning before you. This tent that David erected was the house for the Ark of the Covenant. Something else about it was that it was open. There was open access. In the tabernacle, in the temple that Solomon would later build, there was a veil that always kept the people out. Only the high priest, one time a year, could go before the Ark of the Covenant. But if you'll study it out, you'll find out that when David's tabernacle was in Jerusalem, there was open access. And in fact, where it was only Jews that could come and worship in the tabernacle, now this was open to servants. This was open to handmaidens. This was open to every. It was a foreshadowing. Can I just say it this way? It was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen when God established his church. Because it was going to be for the young and the old. It was going to be for the men and the women. It was going to be for no matter where you came from, what your nationality was. This was a foreshadowing of that. And the thing that you need to understand is God approved it. Now here's where I'm going. You have in the tabernacle, the temple, and they were fine. They were right. God said, you build them this way. You have a formality. You have a form and a way that you must follow. God got very angry with two of the high priests that just marched in to the tabernacle with strange fire. You may remember the story, Nadab and Abihu, and God struck them down because they came in the wrong manner. But here in this place, there was something that was different. It was like, and I'm not trying to put words in God's mouth, but you need to understand it was like God was saying, you can suspend the rules because there's something that's happening here that's not happened other places. Because here, there was going to be heartfelt, sincere worship. There was going to be worship that was without prescription. It may not have followed the form over here, but it was given from the heart. Oh, hallelujah. So God was saying, suspend the rules. Let's just worship. Let's make sure that no matter what's going and what's happening, above everything else, we got to worship the Lord. And I'm telling you now, folks, if we could get that in our hearts and understanding, that's what God wants. Just suspend the rules. It may not be like you think it should be, or you think or I think, but let's just have people worship God. I noticed this morning, before service ever began, there was a group of people here praising and worshiping the Lord. And there were some young people, very young people, crying out to God. And then there would be some that say, oh, they're not old enough. Oh, it happened in Jesus' day. You know, here, Jesus, bless our children. Get these children out of here. This is adult stuff. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And what I saw going on over here was like, there's no rules, folks. This is just heartfelt. This is just coming from down inside the heart. And I'm going to tell you what, you get the attention of God when you do it that way. I'm all for order. God's not the author of confusion. But you can't replace that that comes from way down inside the soul. Suspend the rules, let's worship. This is an artist's conception of what happened when David brought the ark into the city of Jerusalem. He took off his royal robes. He took off his crown. He laid aside everything that made him somebody or something. No big I's and little U's. There's only one that deserves attention. And that's Almighty God. So he suspended the rules. He suspended protocol. He was just a plain person in a white linen ephod. And he came before the Lord and he began to dance. They offered sacrifices and he danced and he danced. And his wife, Michael, who you see on the corner there, she looked down the window and she saw him doing that. And she said, ah, what's the king acting like that for? He needs to be a little more proper than that. He's the king of this great land. But let me tell you something. The king realized that he was only king because there was another king that said he could be there. And let me tell us something here. It's because of what the king has done that you and I have opportunity to worship him and to glorify him and to come into his presence. So let's suspend the rules. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles 16. Just so you'll think, or you'll know that there is some scripture behind what I'm saying. Verse 1 says, they brought the ark of God and they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And they worshiped. And they worshiped. And they worshiped. David was not a priest. David was not a Levite. But you hear me again, and I'm being repetitious. Something inside of him was crying out to make contact with his God. And he said, I got to do it. I got to do it. So he, and it had to be by his expense. It had to be he being the one that supported it. He got these Levites to stand around there. And oh, it was like, if you can imagine this, maybe way over into the wee hours of the morning. This is something that, you know, they had a morning and evening sacrifice at the tabernacle. But oh, in the quiet of the night, maybe the king was feeling some real stress because there was enemies oppressing him. But in the quiet of the night, you could hear the trumpets. You could hear the psaltery. You could hear the harp. Because these were all there at this tabernacle of David. And he could maybe not sleep and he'd be worrying and be concerned. But then he could hear the worship of the Lord that was going on. And it would ease his mind and it would lift the burden. Let me tell you something, folks. You may sometime come into this place and you're burdened down with life. And things are just eating your lunch. But I'm going to tell you something. If you could throw off the worry, if you can throw off the stress, and you can begin to worship God, something's going to happen in your life. Something's going to change in your spirit when you turn your attention not to what's going on here, but you turn it on over to God. And he will give you a peace and a help that you can't find anyplace else. Notice what it says here. And he appointed certain Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record. You look up that word recorded, it means to make mention of God in his acts. Don't you ever forget what God's done for you. Don't let the darkness of the world crowd out all the things that God has done. Don't you ever minimize the forgiveness that God has brought into your life. Don't you ever put down the Spirit of God that is filling your life and your soul. That's peace like none other. Peace I leave. Peace I give. Not as the world knoweth. Give I unto thee, the Lord said. Don't you ever forget to record what God has done. And to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, next to him Zechariah, Jael, Shimer, I don't know. You pronounce it your own way. And Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliah, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael with psalteries and harp. But Asaph made sound with cymbals. Now I know they're electronic over here. These would have been this type. And you don't just do a little patty cake with cymbals. I can't make enough noise to recreate the sound of a cymbal. 2:30 in the morning, somebody's blasting on the trumpet, smacking the cymbals together. Are you folks crazy? Why don't you go to bed? No, because there's a God that needs to be worshipped. Benaniah and also Jehaziel, the priests, with trumpets.
You see it.
Continually. Before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Suspend the rules. God says, I just want somebody to worship me. I just want somebody to lift me up. This was loud worship. Do you hear it? This was loud worship, and it was approved of God. Now, you don't have to be as noisy as I am. But let me tell you something. When you come before the Lord, there should be something that comes from way down inside. Jesus said, out of the belly, out of the innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. That's what needs to happen when we come before the Lord. Not, as someone said, not just a little patty cake for Jesus, and I'm not putting anybody down here, but something needs to be some worship that says, I know who my God is, and I know He's deserving of worship and praise, so I'm going to give Him my all. It's strange. When you look at the history of it, it's strange that at Gibeah, they still had the tabernacle erected. And they still offered the morning and evening sacrifices. They still had the brazen altar. They had the brazen laver. They had the golden candlestick, the table of showbread. They had the altar of incense. But something was missing. Here they still had the formality. And please, I'm not putting that down. But it's an amazing thing that even though the tabernacle was still erected in Gibeah, in Jerusalem, there was David's tent. David's tabernacle. God was worshipped with praising and singing and instruments day and night. The tent didn't, as I said a little earlier, didn't have different courts. It didn't have gates that kept you out. It didn't. Everybody. The only thing that stood between the Ark of the Covenant and the people were these Levites that were leading in worship. Unheard of. God never allowed this before. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there was something in the heart of God that said, I'm willing to just get rid of all the rules. Just if somebody will come close and worship me with all their heart. If somebody will just show me that they appreciate what I've done for them. I don't care if they say it with the right words. I don't care if they're on key when they sing. I don't care. I just want somebody to give it to me from way down inside. I want them to worship me. Then you come to Amos. Amos chapter 9. And he says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. God was anointing a prophet to say this to a backslidden people. He says in another translation, on that day I will set up David's fallen tent. I will repair the holes in it. I will restore its ruined places. I will rebuild them as they were a long time ago. Amos prophesied to the backslidden nation of Israel nearly 300 years after David's righteous reign. And something else that is noteworthy is that making this prophecy even more perplexing is that the magnificent temple in Jerusalem that built by Solomon was still the center of worship in Jerusalem. And yet God is saying, do you get this? This is the voice of God. He said, I know the temple's in Jerusalem, and that's okay. And there's people there, but they're not really worshiping me from my heart. They're just going through the formality. They're just doing the sacrifices that were told to them. He says, but there's going to come a day that's really going to be meaningful to me. And I'm going to, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to raise up the tabernacle of David because somebody is really going to worship me from their heart. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Suspend the rules. Let's worship. Let's worship. Then we come to the New Testament book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. And something has happened in the New Testament church. You probably recognized it in the first years of the church. It was Jews, and almost exclusively Jews. The first 120, 3,000, 5,000, 8,000, you know, there. The innumerable company in Jerusalem. Then it finally moved over into Samaria. But these were people that were part Jewish. It was some 8-10 years later that we come to Acts chapter 10. And finally, there's a household. Cornelius, a foreigner, a Gentile. And they receive the message. But the majority in the first part of the church were Jews, or Jewish descendants, part Jews. Now, Paul and Barnabas had completed their first missionary journey, and they had taken the message to the Gentiles, these former pagan worshipers, these that had no background in Judaism, these that didn't know anything about the formality of how the Jews did it. And the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 was, you read it and you'll see, the real question was, do Gentiles have to become Jewish to be saved? They could not deny that they had received the Holy Ghost. They had been baptized in Jesus' name. But the question was, here we are, you know, we're the blue bloods. We're the ones that this thing was given to. Now do we have to take these people and make them, you know, satisfy all the tenets of the law? And they were discussing, and it was a heavy, heavy discussion. But then, read it with me. It says, all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon Peter has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet, talking about Amos, agree. Just as it is written, after this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind, it's not just Jews, it's not just part Jews, so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. I'm so glad it's been open to the Gentiles. I'm so glad that God said, let all the nations come and worship. This is what I was seeing in the tabernacle of David. This is worship which thrills the Lord. It's spirit and truth. Remember what Jesus told a lady in Samaria, a foreigner, that she knew nothing about him. She was a lady that was in sin and living a sinful life. But Jesus said, the Father, John 4, the Father seeketh. The Old Testament says his eyes go to and fro upon the earth. What you looking for, Lord? May not have much background, may not know much about God at all, but somebody that'll worship me, that's what matters. Oh, it's worship that's driven by an intense desire for God's presence. I'm hurrying on. Worship that goes beyond the prescribed days to a 24/7 response and praise. Aren't you glad you can wake up in the middle of the night? Sometimes you may be troubled in spirit. Sometimes you may be feeling down and out. But hallelujah, you can begin to worship our God. And something begins to take place within the soul that changes the human being. Worship that's void of social classes. No big eyes, no little U's. We're all stand equal before God. It don't matter. I'm sorry it's bad English, but it don't matter what you did before you got here. Once you get here and find forgiveness, we're all equal because nobody has anything on them because of the blood that cleanses from sin. I got my wheels down. I'm coming in for a landing now. You musicians, you can make your way back. You can remain seated, though. I threw them a curve in that first session. But you remember the temple in Jerusalem? When Jesus died on the cross, something spectacular happened. There was this veil. Some say that it was so thick that a team of oxen couldn't rip it apart. But when Jesus breathed his last, that veil got rent from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. It was too tall for one man to get up there and do it. It split. And when it opened up, what did it reveal? It revealed that Ark of the Covenant that David had revealed back in Jerusalem. I asked myself the question, was God trying to get out? Or was God trying to allow man in? And I came to this conclusion, it was both. God didn't want to stay behind no curtain. The love of God is too great and too wonderful. It doesn't want to be capsulized behind some curtain. He wants to inhabit humanity. And those that can understand the truth of what God was doing, you understand we have such privilege. Hebrews says we can come boldly. That doesn't mean irreverently, but we can come boldly by the blood of Jesus. I don't come on my own merits. I don't come because I can't come on my own merits, but there's something that's preceded me. There's something that has washed me. There's something that has allowed me to come into your presence, oh God. And because I recognize just how wonderful that is, I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to stop. I'm not just going to give you half worship. I want to give you something that's going to be my all in spirit and in truth. Suspend the rules. Let's just worship. Would you like to stand? I asked Sister Wells if she could play this song for us to begin. The words to it. It's called Dancing Generation.
Your mercy taught us how to dance, to celebrate
with all we have.
We'll dance.
We'll dance.
Thank you for mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Your glory taught us how to shout.
I think it's time for us to worship.
And all the earth it will shout to. Thank you for glory.
Oh, it's the overflow. Oh, we're going
to
sing the verse. That's
all right. To celebrate
with all we have and
we'll dance
to.
Thank you for mercy. Your glory taught us how to shout.
To lift your name.
And all the earth it will shout to.
Praise you.
Thank you
for glory. Soul. Anybody been forgiven in the house today?
You, God.
Oh, yeah.
Our hearts cannot stay silent.
And we'll be a dancing generation. Dancing
because
dancing.
Of your
oh, hallelujah.
All we have, it will dance to. of a forgiven soul. And now we've seen you, God. Our hearts cannot stay silent. We'll be a dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord. And we'll be a shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. Your great glory, Lord. It's the overflow.
I'm here to worship.
I'm here to worship you.
Jesus makes you wonder why it took them till Acts 15 to truly recognize what Jesus Christ did, because it's the same Jesus Christ that in John chapter 4, after telling his disciples, don't go to Samaria, don't go, Bible says he must needs go through Samaria, and there he finds a woman at a well, a Samaritan, and begins to talk to her and begins to tell her. The Bible says that he makes an end of speaking. She drops her water pot and she goes back to the city. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? But in the midst of that dialogue with the woman at the well, when Jesus had suspended the rules and gone to Samaria, he says, the time cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. See, lady, what you don't understand, if I've suspended the rules, because I'm bringing back the tabernacle of David. When Samaritans, we looked at this a few months ago. You can even go now in the area about Jerusalem, where these certain sect of people still live. And in their ceremonial worship, they wear all white. Jesus said, as the people from the city started making their way out to see him, he looked at the disciples and said, look on the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. The people from this were coming. Why? Because he was restoring the tabernacle of David. We're suspending the rules, anybody and everybody. The time cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the only prerequisite. It's just spirit and truth. Nothing else matters. Hallelujah. Oh, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voices? Hallelujah.
I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands. I'm gonna bow myself. I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I'm gonna lift you up. I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands. I'm gonna bow myself. I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. You brought me this far, over mountains and through valleys. I'm overwhelmed. I gotta celebrate your mercy. I'm gonna lift you up. I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands. I'm gonna bow myself. I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't stand enough. I can't stand strong enough. I can't stand big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I can't stand loud enough. I can't stand strong enough. I can't stand big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. Strong enough, I can't say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough. I can't say strong enough. I can't say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough. I can't say strong enough. I can't say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough. I can't say strong enough. I can't say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. You up. I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands. I'm gonna bow myself. I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy.
God, we serve. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for reminding us once again, and whomsoever will, let him come, partake of the waters of life freely, God. Oh, and you just desire worship, that we would come and in spirit and in truth, with our voice, with our hands, and praise and acclamation unto you. Go with us from this place today. Let's go on your will and your way. Doing your work. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus.